Did John the Baptist fulfill the calling, the mandate on his life? And I take that from Luke 1, verses 16 and 17. And we'll just read that again. This is what John was supposed to be doing. This is what his assignment was. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So the question was sort of, was John successful? Do we have any indications that these things that he was called to do actually happened? Who knows? I'm going to get my board out here and we'll jot some of those things down. Anybody want to volunteer an answer? He did what he was called to do, right? He went and the people came, right? Many people. End result, his head chopped off. It depends on whose standards we are looking at, right? On whose standards. Any other thoughts? Anything from the scripture? Uh-huh. Good one. I'm just going to put down here effect on Pentecost, right? Possibly some of those people that were of the thousands that came to Christ, that came to the knowledge of the truth at Pentecost, might have been influenced initially by John's baptism, having prepared the way, because the preparation was basically to rid them of their sin and get them cleaned up so that they would be ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Anything else? Any other thoughts? Yeah, so they did confess their sin. Okay, anybody else give some thoughts on this? Was John successful? Yeah, he was definitely persecuted, and we know imprisoned, and ultimately his life was taken. So, well, let's just leave it that there, and I want to talk about this today. So we'll jot some things down as we go along here. Let's look, first of all, we know successful is by whose standards we're going by, right? We're talking about whether John was successful or not. Okay, popularity. Number one, was he popular? Well, it says in the passage that we have been reading from Luke is that crowds were coming to be baptized by him. Crowds. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, states that people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. And Mark gets even more dramatic, and he said, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. So a lot of people came. And in the passage that Wes read today, the people continued to come to him even after Jesus was on the scene and Jesus was making disciples. So he continued to have people come to him. So, with the crowds, he was popular. How about the religious elite? Well, what did he say? You brood of vipers, you... And he called them some names. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? And we just want to look at Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Was he popular with the Pharisees? Not very, probably because of that. And why did they come out to him? What do you think they came out to? Curiosity, probably. Yeah, very much so. But the people were all going. And so I think perhaps that their religious authority was being questioned. Maybe they felt somewhat threatened. And so they had to check this out. They were probably the religious police at that time. And they went to find fault probably more than anything else. Anyways, probably not popular with them. One other person we want to mention here, was he popular with Herod? At the end of our passage in Luke, it says, when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. So again, not very popular with Herod. But we want to come back to that particular relationship again in just a bit. All right, so let's look at results. He was popular with the crowds, probably not so much with the Pharisees or with Herod, but what were results? Well, with the crowds, do we have any indication that he was successful? We conjecture that he might have been influencing what happened, you know, in the early church, where the many people were filled with the Spirit and came into the early church. They came under conviction, okay? So that, yeah, they obviously God was doing something. They were being drawn and they were being influenced to confess their sins. Well, I want you to look up a verse in Luke chapter 7, and there we read verse 29. And I just didn't realize that was there, and I found this verse, and it actually gives us something to work with. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right. Why? Because they had been baptized by John. Never knew that verse was there. So they had been baptized by John, so they were now open to hear Jesus' words. Well, I think that's results, right? What about the religious elite? Do we know if any of them got baptized? So verse 30, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. So it looks like pretty much entirely the Pharisees had rejected John's message. Well, let's look at Herod. And I want to read a passage here. And that is from Mark chapter 6. I want to read this section here. Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married, For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed the grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, and yet he liked to listen to him. So Herod wasn't entirely opposed to John the Baptist. He liked to listen to them. He left Herod puzzled, but it was really Herodias, Herod's wife, that nursed the grudge against John. And finally, we know the end of that story was that there was this party, and Herodias' daughter danced before Herod and all his guests, greatly pleasing him, and he rashly gave this promise, whatever you want, you can have. Up to half my kingdom? And she went to her mother for advice, and her mother, of course, said, the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And Herod, having made this crazy promise, felt he had to follow through with it, sent an executioner into the prison. They took John's head and brought him into the banquet. Pretty grisly event, but that was the result in Herod's case. What about changed lives? Did these people who came to confess their sins actually turn out changed? It's a good question. But there's a story that sort of can answer this question at least partially. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 35. This involves John the Baptist again. The next day, John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples, baptizing at the river near the town of Bethany. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So here's a story of two of John's disciples, and one of them we know was Andrew. Well, what ended up happening with Andrew? He became one of Jesus' disciples. The other one isn't named, and it's thought that because the author is John, it's probably John the Apostle. So two men from the area of Galilee, having been baptized and probably confessed their sins to John and being baptized by him, were his followers, were his disciples. When Jesus was seen and John points him out, these men followed Jesus and they became disciples. And what happened to the disciples? Ultimately, they went all over the known world and spread the good news of Jesus. So maybe this was lasting effects, lasting results of John's ministry. They started with John. They ended up transferring their loyalty to Jesus and followed Jesus for the rest of their lives until their martyrdom, or John the Apostle lived to be very old, and we don't know exactly how he died. Anyways, so maybe there was some long-lasting results there, and who knows who else. Just like Wes mentioned, my thought was too, what about all these people who came into the early church? Thousands. And who knows how many of them were actually there with John, had been baptized by him, confessed their sins, and prepared the way. Maybe they stepped back a little bit at the crucifixion and thought, what are we getting into? And then later on came forward again, just like all the disciples, all the apostles actually left Jesus at one point and actually all came back again. So just asking a couple of questions. How did John see himself? Did he look at himself as successful? Maybe that's not quite the right question, but we can answer that question by looking at John chapter 3, the passage that Wes read. We'll just read a couple of those verses again. What's happening here is that John's disciples came to John and said, "Rabbi," they came to John the Baptist and said, "Rabbi, that man, Jesus, who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him." So John is losing his disciples and Jesus is gaining his disciples. This is John's response. John replied, "A person can receive only what is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I'm not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom," looking at Jesus as the bridegroom. "The friend who attends the bridegroom," who is John, "waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less." That's John's attitude. All right, let Jesus have more disciples. He's the one that I actually came to prepare the way for. So that's John's attitude, humble attitude. John 3, verse 30, "He must become greater, I must become less." Later on, there's still another story about John's disciples. John is in prison, and his disciples actually come to Jesus and say, "Are you the one we are to expect as the Messiah, or is there someone else we should look for?" So even John had some doubts. I think things turned out for John the Baptist different than he probably expected. And so if we would have asked him, maybe, is his ministry successful? He's sitting there in prison. He might have not been so sure and had some doubts. But he did have doubts, and Jesus reassured him. And we just want to read that passage. That's from Luke chapter 7, when these disciples of John come to Jesus. John's disciples told him about all these things, all things that Jesus was doing. This is Luke chapter 7, verse 18. "He sent them to the Lord to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. So while Jesus didn't seem to be fit the understanding of what they thought the Messiah would actually look like, even to John, Jesus is saying, yes, I'm the one. And blessed is he who doesn't stumble, because, you know, he's puzzled by the way things have actually turned out when they see me. One last question. How did Jesus see John? Matthew 11:11. Actually, Luke 7 again. We'll just stay with Luke. It's his parallel passage as Matthew 11. But Luke 7 and verse 28. I tell you, this is Jesus' words, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. And yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. There's another question for us. I don't think I want to go into it. Why are these people who are least in the kingdom of God now greater than John? Although John is the greatest one that's ever been born of a woman. We can probably spend a little time on that question. But we want to just hear Jesus' affirmation of John. He's the greatest one that has ever been born of a woman. So success, to be looked upon as great by Jesus himself, I would say successful. So my final question is, what can we learn from this story? God's determination of success may be different than ours, right? Often looks different. It's got to be success in God's eyes. What else? Things are not always as they seem, right? Was John faithful in doing what he was asked to do or called to do? Yes, absolutely. So faithfulness and obedience. He did what he was supposed to do. The results ultimately are God's, in God's hands, right? So what did John say? A person can receive only what is given to him from heaven. So God grants success, right? God's the one who grants success. God gave John all these people, but ultimately many of them went to Jesus, and it's God who brought them, and it's God who is responsible for the ultimate results when we are faithful and obedient to do what we're called to do. Yes, so humble. Bold enough to tell Herod he shouldn't have somebody else's wife, which is pretty brave when he knows that Herod would have the power to do something to him. One of the things that brought out to me was that you can have a lasting effect on maybe just a few people. Maybe not all the people that came to John who confessed their sins, you know, made a difference in their world. Who knows? We're not told really, but a few people did. Especially these two disciples, right? Andrew and probably John the Apostle. I'm just going to write down few. Sometimes it's, so for me the lesson is, you know, you may not affect everybody in your walk in life, you're wanting to follow Jesus, but you may make a difference in just a few people's life. And that's, in God's eyes, success. We may not be popular with everybody, right? We're looking for God's well done, not people's affirmation so much. So we want to hear that well done. He was great. Well done, good and faithful servant. Anybody else? I just have that here. Our faithfulness, obedience might be costly on earth. But, I mean, where's the passage in Revelation having to do with all those who have had their heads removed? Which is not a new concept in our day, right? Because of what's happening in the Muslim world. So people had their lives changed. Who knows how many of those people were very ordinary people who were never mentioned again in the Bible, or never mentioned at all, and whose family life changed, whose relationships changed, who, you know, who, having confessed their sins, repented and went a different way after that. Probably many people, many, many people. So what are we called to do? We're called to love God, love people with all our heart and soul, strength and mind, to be followers of Jesus, to become fishers of men. Just the illustration of, are you successful every time you go fishing? No, people still go fishing even if they don't catch something every time, right? Become disciple makers. So I just want this to be an encouragement to all of us today that God wants us to hear him, to listen to him, to be obedient, not to be worried about the results. Yeah, just these are some of the things. God's the one that gives success. Stay humble, point to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit make us be bold or help us to be bold, right, when we're afraid. Influence, even if it's just a few. Look for God's well done. And don't worry about the cost, because ultimately it's going to be worth it. Trust that God is going to continue to work these good things in our own lives. Lord, that's our prayer today. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. We want to follow you, hear your voice, obey, trust you that you're leading us, trust that you're the one who is going to accomplish your purposes through us as we look to you, as we trust you, and as we continue to point others to you. Lord, we want to be faithful and obedient, and we have another week before us in which for this to actually happen. So, Lord, we're just opening ourselves up to you today for you to fill and inspire by your Holy Spirit to do in us what we cannot do for ourselves and do through us what we cannot do, but what you want to accomplish in our world. Let your will be done in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you his peace today and in the week to come. God bless you all.